Let us turn in the Word of God, first of all, to the book of Genesis, chapter 28. Genesis, chapter 28. You'll find it on page 22 in the provided Bibles. Jacob, having deceived his father and gotten the blessing that normally would have gone to the eldest son, Esau, was afraid of Esau and realized he better leave home. And so he left. And we begin reading at that point, Genesis 28 and verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night, because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you will lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you. So far there. Let us turn now to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John and chapter 1. John chapter 1, you'll find that on page 886 in the provided Bibles. In this first chapter, John has introduced Jesus and the message of his gospel, and now he introduces us to John the Baptist, who is to announce Jesus' coming and to point to him. And we take up our reading at verse 29. The next day, he, that is John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God!" The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ, or which translated into English means the Anointed. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Brothers and sisters, as we come to consider this text from the Gospel of John, we recognize, first of all, that it is the Word of God. And so it comes to us with the authority of God, giving us the truth of God concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. John, commonly called John the Baptist by us, because he was sent to baptize, John was a voice. He said that of himself, "I'm a voice in the wilderness." He was a voice pointing men to Jesus, calling them, first of all, to repentance, to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus coming, for the Messiah's coming. And then Jesus appeared. And Jesus asked to be baptized, and John remonstrated, but then at the insistence of the Lord Jesus, John did baptize him. And John then saw the Spirit of God descend upon the Lord Jesus and remain upon him. He saw the Spirit in the form of a dove. And he heard God's voice as God from heaven spoke concerning his Son, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And so here we have the triune God, Father in heaven, giving his approval to his Son who has come to earth and now begins his ministry, and the Spirit of God coming upon the Lord Jesus to sustain him in that ministry. It's no surprise then that John points to Jesus and says, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And even more says of him, this is the Son of God. It wasn't a message that would be well received by the Jews. They believed in one God. They certainly did not believe that any human could be God. And so for John to point to the Lord Jesus and say he is the Son of God was blasphemous in their ears. Now many had come out into the desert to hear John's message. He was a prophet. They clearly recognized that. And he came somewhat in the form and power and spirit of that old prophet Elijah. He even dressed like Elijah did. And he lived in the desert. And they came out in droves from Jerusalem, from all Judea and the surrounding villages, to hear John's message. And he called them to repentance in order to prepare the way for the Messiah, who he was to announce when he appeared. When the Messiah did appear and John pointed to him, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, many left. The multitudes that had come out went back home. They were interested in a real Messiah. And this Jesus did not fill the bill. They were looking for a king. And clearly Jesus wasn't the right type. So they left him. And there are just a few of John's closest disciples that remain. And we are told then the next day, John is standing there with two of his disciples. And he points to Jesus as Jesus passes by, as though to say, didn't you hear me yesterday? Behold, the Lamb of God. In other words, why are you staying here? Go follow him. He's the Messiah. And two of his disciples did just that. They followed Jesus. Why? Well, no doubt because they wanted to really know who Jesus was. And that's the first thing we can see here in our text. They wanted to know who Jesus really was. Jesus turned to these two disciples who were following him and he said, what are you seeking? And as you read, you may have wondered, it's a strange answer that these disciples give. Strange answer. Rabbi, where are you staying? Here they have been pointed to the Messiah, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John has said, this is the Son of God. And they ask, where are you staying? As I thought about that, I recall reading one of Ravi Zacharias's books. And in that book, he tells of the first visit that he made back to India, where he was raised until he was about 18 or 19. And then his family moved to Canada and he studied in Canada and then later became an American citizen, is a great Christian apologist. Ravi and his wife went back to India as he was invited to speak to people in the great city of Mumbai. And his American wife was astonished when she heard the introduction that was given to Ravi before he was to speak. The person introducing got up and read a formal speech, 15 to 20 minutes long. And in that speech, he told about Ravi's father, who he was, his background, his upbringing, his credentials, his accomplishments, his work in the government in various posts, the city that he lived in, the woman that he married and her background. And on it went for 15 or 20 minutes. not a word about Ravi until the very last sentence. And then he turned to Ravi and he said, and this is his son who's to speak to us. And Ravi says, at that minute, I realized I was back in the East. You see, to really know someone, you have to know their background. You have to know their family. You have to know how they were raised. You have to know the situation that they grew up in and their parentage. Very different from us in the West. Introducing someone, we say something about him and his accomplishments, but not so in the East. These two disciples from the Middle East wanted to really know who Jesus was. And so they wanted to know where he was staying. They wanted to see him in his place. They wanted to know something of his background. Where are you staying? And Jesus, remember, he's the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world. He's the Son of God. He gave a response, really the only response that he could, which would answer and satisfy these disciples. He said, come and see. Come and see. How could Jesus tell them who he was? Could he say, well, I was raised in Nazareth? That wouldn't tell them who Jesus was, because that wasn't his origin. Could he say, my father was a carpenter, Joseph by name. I'm his son. But that wouldn't explain who Jesus was. For, after all, Joseph was not his biological father. And if he did say something like that, it would mislead the disciples, after all, because, you see, Jesus was from heaven, from God. So what could he say? He said, come and see. Come and stay with me. Come and be with me. Come and get to know me as I speak, as I live. And so they did. They went with Jesus. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we're told. The 10th hour, according to Jewish reckoning, from 6 o'clock in the morning. And they came and they saw where he was staying and they stayed with him that day. Now, we're not told what the house was like. We're not even told in what city it was. That's not significant. What's significant is they stayed with him that day. And, of course, they stayed with him, listening to him. No doubt asking him questions. Finding out who he was. And they learned enough to realize that he was the fulfillment of all that the Old Testament had spoken about. The fulfillment of all of the sacrifices. The fulfillment of all the prophecies. They learned that because, well, because of what they did. And we'll see that in just a moment. They stayed with Jesus and learned from him who he was. You know, it's still true today. You may learn about Jesus. You may learn a lot about how he lived, about what he did. But unless you stay with Jesus, unless you are with him, you really won't know him. You really won't know who he is. There are many brilliant scholars, theologians and Bible exegetes who have studied about Jesus and yet who do not know Jesus because they haven't stayed with him. They haven't lived with him. They haven't taken his word into their lives. And so it is for you. You might have been raised in this Christian church, and yet you only know about Jesus, and you don't know him, who he really is, because you haven't stayed with him. Stay with him as he reveals himself through his word, and follow him as these disciples did, that you may truly know him, the Messiah. Well, these disciples followed Jesus. They stayed with him. They went with him the next day, and they did find out who he was. He was the Messiah, truly. And we see that as we go on. One of the disciples of John who stayed with Jesus was Andrew. Now, we don't hear much about Andrew in the Gospels. A little bit, a snippet here and there. And when we do hear something about Andrew, it seems as though he's inviting others to come to Jesus. You can catch word of that in chapter 6 and chapter 12 of this gospel and in the other gospels as well. Well, the first thing Andrew did the next day is, or maybe it was the same day, is call his brother Peter. And notice what he says to Peter. We have found the Messiah. How did he know that about Jesus? How did he know that Jesus was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies? He'd stayed with Jesus. He'd listened to Jesus. He'd come to know who Jesus really was that way. And so he goes confidently to his brother and says, we have found the Messiah. No question, no doubt in his mind. This is the first chapter of the Gospel of John. And in the rest of the Gospel, the Apostle John is going to show us what these disciples learned about Jesus by following him. He's going to show us who Jesus really is through his teaching, his words, and his miracles. So that at the end of the book, we read, these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And here we have Andrew already confident of that. We have found the Messiah. Peter might have hesitated. We don't know. We're not told. But it's quite possible that Peter hesitated. What do you mean, the Messiah? Really? And I'm sure Andrew would have said just exactly what Jesus said. Come and see. Come and see. And Peter did. We know that Jesus went on further to explain who he was and to show them from Scripture who he was because of what happens the next day. The next day, Jesus decides to go to Galilee. And he first finds Philip and says to him, follow me. And Philip, what's he do? He goes and finds Nathanael and says, we have found him of whom Moses and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We have found him of whom Moses and the prophets wrote. You see, he had become convinced through what Jesus had been teaching them that Jesus himself was the fulfillment of all of those promises of the Old Testament. All that Moses had said and all the prophets have said, pointing to the Messiah to come. Here he is. Nathanael, however, was rather skeptical. And he no doubt had strong reasons against what Philip was saying, that Jesus was the Messiah. And the first reason he gives is, Nazareth? Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. There's nothing in the Old Testament about Nazareth. There's no fulfillments of prophecy that are to take place in Nazareth. Messiah, you say, out of Nazareth? No. But Philip doesn't argue with Nathanael. Philip just says, come and see. Come and see. Brothers and sisters, this is evangelism, isn't it? Come and see. There is a place for sound argument. There is a place for overturning the wrong thinking that people have about Jesus and who he is. But the real crunch comes when people come and see Jesus and stay with him. Then they will know who he is, and only then. So the best thing to do, you see, is to invite them to come and see. Reuben, James, Hendrik, Sarah, others of you here, you young people, here's evangelism. One hungry sinner calling to another and saying, come, I know where food is. Come and see. Come and take of the water of life. Come and drink that refreshing water and be revived. Come into the light and see the Lord Jesus. Of course, you have to translate it for people today. You can't say, come and see the Messiah. They won't understand that. But many youth are spiritually and morally troubled. Say to them, I've found someone who has lifted my spiritual burden. Come and get to know him. Say, I have found someone who took my guilt away, that burdened me till I was ready to commit suicide. Come and get to know him. Come with me and see for yourself how he lifted me out of the mess that I was in. And so these disciples learned to know Jesus. And so did Nathanael. They really got to know him truly. They did so by coming and seeing and following him. These disciples hadn't yet seen any miracles. They hadn't seen Jesus do any healings or casting out of demons. They hadn't seen him raise the dead, all of which he would do in time to show that he's truly the Son of God. And even more, they would hear his teaching and how he was the fulfillment of all that the Old Testament had spoken about. In his interaction with Nathanael that we see in verses 47 to 51, we have a little indication of that. How Jesus reveals to Nathanael in these few words that he says to him that he is truly the Son of God. And that he is the fulfillment of all the prophecies of Scripture. Jesus says to Nathanael as he's coming, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And as Jesus says that, he's already indicating that he's thinking of the deceiver in the Old Testament, Jacob. You recall how deceptive Jacob was. He even deceived his own father to get the inheritance. And here is Nathanael, completely different, in whom is no deception, in whom is no guile, a straightforward, open, honest man. And Nathanael's surprised. Jesus, how do you know me? He didn't deny that that was his character, but he just says, how do you know me? Well, Jesus knew him because Jesus, after all, is God, the Creator. But Jesus goes on and says, I knew you when you were under the fig tree, before Philip called you. And Jesus is thus implying, I have divine eyes. I know all things. And Nathanael makes the correct deduction. Rabbi, he says, you are the Son of God. Now, Nathanael believed on a very small amount of evidence. Most of us take a lot more evidence than that to believe that Jesus truly is the Son of God. And most of the disciples took more evidence than that. But Nathanael took that little bit of evidence and he recognized this is the Son of God. And Jesus, it's as though Jesus is surprised by Nathanael's quick belief. Nathanael, do you believe because I said I saw you under the fig tree? You're going to see a lot more evidence than that. Much more evidence. In fact, and here Jesus goes back to Jacob again, you're going to see heaven opened. That is, you're going to have a vision. You're going to see something that very few have seen. Heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Jesus refers right back to that story we read in the Old Testament about Jacob and his dream and the ladder and the angels going up and down the ladder, the Lord being at the top and the Lord speaking his promise to him. And Jacob recognizing that this was some special revelation. And he therefore called that place where he had communed with God, where God had communed with him, should we say, the house of God. This is where God dwells. This is the house of God. But Jesus wants Nathanael to come to understand something a little bit different, something greater, something more marvelous. Because he says, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending, not in some place, not in the temple, not in Jerusalem, but descending on the Son of Man. That's what Jesus calls himself, on the Son of Man. He is God's house. He is God's dwelling place. God dwells in him in all his fullness, you see. And Nathanael will come to understand that. Brothers and sisters, it is when we come to understand that great truth that we really have come to know Jesus. He is the one who fulfills all the promises of the Old Testament. And he is the only one who could fulfill all those promises because he is the Son of God. And so I invite you, maybe some of you who don't yet know Jesus in this full way, I invite you, come and see. Come and see. Follow him. In that way alone will you get to know him. And will you come to understand that in him there is forgiveness of sins because all the promises of God are met in Christ. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is to come and see the Lord Jesus as he truly reveals himself in his word, and to stay with him, to be united to him through faith, and to know the forgiveness of our sins and the promise of life eternal which he gives to all his people. Oh, Father, we rejoice in that. And therefore we rejoice in your grace, for we have not accomplished any of this. We have not even figured it out for ourselves, but you have taught us, and you have called us, and you continue to invite us. Come and see. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.